Good night, good night. Welcome, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good
Amen.
night. Good night,
Yes,
everybody.
good night, good night.
Night.
Hallelujah. Yes. Another Bible study night. We give God thanks. It is because of His grace and mercies why we are here tonight. Nothing good that we have done, all because of His mercies. Amen. And so we just want to welcome you all to another Bible study night. Another night where we come to hear from the Lord, that He will just open our hearts. And I have one absentee, Sister Nicole, won't be able to join us tonight. Just want to keep her in prayer. And also, Auntie Lynette, she's not feeling well still. Yes, so we're keeping her in prayer tonight. Amen. With that being said, I want to welcome Mommy Scott, Sister Scott Sr., to just open for us in a brief prayer.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay, let us pray. O God of all grace, thy goodness we praise. Thy Son that was given to die in our place. He came from above, our curse to remove. He hath loved us. He hath loved us because He would love.
Hallelujah.
O God Almighty, we invoke your presence in our midst this evening. As we look into your word, O God, may our hearts retain your words. May your word not go through one ear, O God, and go through the other. But may your words be in our hearts, that we may not sin against you. We thank you, Almighty God, for who you are, the great
yes,
and mighty God, the everlasting Father, O the Prince of Peace. Thank you, O God, for your love. Thank you, O God, for your presence. Thank you, O God, that though we are so unworthy, your goodness has brought us together. Thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
All that of us that are gathered here this evening. O God, open our hearts to your words. O Jesus, may your words be in our hearts, O God. May somebody, my God,
yes, Lord.
Converted. May somebody be converted, O God, and change from their ways, Jesus, to adopt your principle. We are not good. We have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. Father God, we do not even know how to approach you. Your sinfulness,
oh,
God. But we thank you for Jesus, for the blood that was shed. And
yes.
Oh God, that we are together to look into your word, dissect, oh God. Explain, O God, reveal to us, O God, help us to accept your word, O God, to live by your word, to go by your word.
Oh God, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. We have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. O Father God, we are not worthy to come before you. But O God, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace.
Thank
you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of us that
yes,
are gathered
Lord.
Here, Lord. Thank you for each and every one of us, Lord. May we live your principles, Jesus. And those who are not able to attend, Lord, I know you are with them. Lord, you'll guide them. You'll protect them, oh God. You know their circumstances, oh God. You know the circumstance of Nicole and also my sister Lynette. Father God, I know you are with them. As you are with us. When you walk this earth, oh God, in the flesh, none came to you and went back the same. Everyone,
oh
God, got the healing. Everyone got the blessing. And so, Lord, we come to you now. We know that you'll bless us. Though we are so unworthy, we are so ungrateful. Oh
Jesus.
God, we have not loved you. We have not loved you as we should. But, oh God, we come, Lord, because you'll not turn your back upon us. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Father God. Thank you, God, for the one that will direct this discussion this evening, Lord. Fill him with your word, fill him with your truth. Speak thank through him, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all of us that will respond. Give us thoughtful hearts.
Oh, God.
Keep on adoring your Jesus. May we keep on praising your God because we don't have nothing. So look into your help us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to understand. Give us that understanding and to do your will.
Yes, take over now, Lord.
Take over now, Lord, oh God, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you are worthy, Jesus, you are worthy. We give you praise, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to read a summary on Joseph tonight. We started off with Abraham, went to Isaac, went to Jacob. Now we're at Joseph. We're just going down to the Old Testament as we parallel with the New Testament. We're dealing with the salvation, topic of salvation still. Last week, we had Sister Ava reading for us. And this week we're going to have a new reader. We're going to have Sister Jackie reading for us on Joseph tonight. You know, so as Sister Jackie prepares to come on, I just want to just greet you all again in the mighty name of Jesus. Indeed, it's a challenging time. It's a time in which we all need the Lord. Amen. We are not exempt. In no way we are exempt. We need the Lord. We need to have him in our corner. Yes, we need him to be our everything. Now everything is in him. You know, because I realize that there is no other way. There is no other way. You know, and funny when you look at it in life, it's so easy to do the things that are not of God. But the things that are of God, it's like you have to make a sacrifice to do the things that are of God, the things that really do profit, the things that really do have weight. You know, we have to make so much sacrifice. You know, it shouldn't be like that.
Just a minute, Everton. Gary wants to come on, but he can't come on. So is there anything you can do to let him come on?
No, I would have to add him to the group at another time, but no, it cannot be added while the group is in process.
Okay.
We'd have to cut the group off. Yes, so I had him. So it's challenging, you know. We have to make a sacrifice in order to really be in the will and purpose of God. So people of God, continue on the narrow path. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's Jesus is the only way. You know, disregard every other route. The broad way, disregard it, and just focus on that one way.
One way
to get to go to heaven, the straight and narrow path. We welcome Sister Jackie now to come with the reading of a summary of Joseph. Sister Jackie, it's up to you. Over to you now.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Okay, so I'll be doing the summary of Joseph, and I'm asking you to pardon me. Some of the pronunciations, I might not get it right, but, you know, bear with me. Okay. Okay, I'll go on. So the summary of Joseph is taken from Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50. Joseph was born in the Mesopotamian town of Haran to his parents, Jacob and Rachel. At the age of six, he left Haran along with his family and journeyed to the land of Canaan, eventually settling in Hebron. Jacob displayed extra affection to Joseph, who was born to his father's full age, presenting him with a specially crafted garment. This prompted feelings of jealousy within his brothers, especially the sons of Jacob's other wife, Leah. These ill feelings intensified when Joseph repeated two of his dreams to them, in which he was portrayed as ruling over his brethren. In the first dream, his brothers were gathering wheat in the field, and the brothers bundles bowed to Joseph's bundle. In the second dream, Joseph envisioned the sun, the moon, and 11 stars, symbolizing his parents and brothers bowing to him. One day, Jacob instructed Joseph to visit his brothers in Shechem, where they were tending their sheep. Little did they know that this would be the last time he would see his dear son until their reunion a long 22 years later. Seizing their opportunity, the brothers threw the unsuspecting Joseph into a pit. A short while later, they spotted an Arab caravan passing the scene, and the brothers sold Joseph to the traders. He was eventually brought to Egypt, where he was sold to
Potiphar,
one of King Pharaoh's ministers. For a while, things started to look up for young Joseph. Divine success enabled him to find favor in his master's eyes, and he was appointed head of Potiphar's estate. However, this would not last for long. Attracted by his handsome looks, Potiphar's wife desired to be intimate with him. To her dismay, Joseph continuously refused. One day, when no one was home other than the two of them, the mistress grasps Joseph's garment, demanding that he consent. Thinking quickly, Joseph slid out of his cloak and ran outside. This self-control earned him the title, Joseph the Righteous. But Potiphar's wife turned the tables on Joseph, telling her husband that it was Joseph who had tried to entice her. The angry master reacted by placing his trustworthy assistant in prison. Joseph's charisma followed him to prison as well, and the warden soon appointed him as his right-hand man. In time, his unique qualities expressed themselves in an additional area. When the king's royal cupbearer and baker were imprisoned, Joseph successfully interpreted their dreams, correctly predicting that the cupbearer would be released and the baker hanged. King Pharaoh himself envisioned two dreams, which none of his advisors were able to explain. Remembering the Hebrew youth from his prison days, the cupbearer suggested that Joseph be summoned. Joseph, then 30, interpreted Pharaoh's dreams as being a divine prediction for 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine, and advised Pharaoh to prepare by storing grain during the first 7 years. Impressed by Joseph's vision, Pharaoh appointed him second in command and tasked him with reading the nation for the years of famine. Meanwhile, the effects of the famine were felt in nearby Canaan. Hearing that there was grain in Egypt, Joseph's brothers journeyed there to buy precious food from the viceroy. What the viceroy is one who rules the country as a representative of the king, not realizing that he was their very own brother. Joseph decided to utilize this opportunity to observe whether his brothers truly regretted having sold him. Using a succession of dramatic maneuvers, Joseph tested his brothers' determination to save their youngest brother, Benjamin, Joseph's only maternal brother, from the plot he set up for him. Once he saw their devotion towards Benjamin, Joseph finally revealed his identity to his astonished siblings. Following this heartfelt reunion, Jacob and his family settled in the Goshen section of Egypt. This series of events served as the backdrop for Israel's ultimate enslavement in Egypt and the subsequent exodus. Joseph's family. After appointing Joseph as viceroy, Pharaoh gave him as a wife Ashnet, daughter of Potiphar. Ashnet, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Centuries identify Potiphar as none other than Potiphar, Joseph's previous master. Commentaries identify Potiphar as none other than Potiphar's, Joseph's previous master. Joseph and Ashnet had two sons. Ashnet had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, both born during the 7 years of plenty. Before Jacob's death, he gave Joseph a gift. His children would be the only ones from among Jacob's grandsons to be treated as independent tribes. Indeed, throughout the Jews' journey in the desert, the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, received equal status to the other tribes, and they inherited individual portions of the land of Israel. Joseph ruled Egypt for a total of 80 years until his death at the age of 110. Before his passing, he made his brothers promise to take his coffin along with them when they would eventually leave Egypt for the promised land. After his death, he was embalmed and laid to rest in Egypt. Indeed, when the Jews left Egypt many years later, Moses made sure to locate Joseph's tomb and carry his remains to the land of Israel.
Yes.
Joseph was subsequently buried in Shechem, known today as Nablus, and his resting place is visited until today.
Amen.
A lesson in forgiveness. Joseph's story highlights the proper attitude toward difficulty and misfortune. Upon discovering Joseph's identity, his brothers were sure he would utilize his imperial powers to exact revenge against them for their evil conduct. However, the sentiments expressed by Joseph were quite the opposite. But now do not be sad and let it not But now do not be sad and let it not trouble you that you sold me here, for it was to preserve life that God sent me before you. You did not send me here, but God. What you meant for evil, God turned it around for good.
Hallelujah.
Joseph recognized that all the travel the travels he had undergone were ordained by God to ensure the survival of Egypt and the surrounding countries. Keeping this in mind enabled him to forgive his brothers and repay animosity, that's hatred, with benevolence, that's kindness. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie. Yes, thank you for your willingness to read. Yeah, you have been unpicked and chosen by Almighty God to read tonight. You know, I don't know what He has in store for you, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. Amen. It's a learning process for everybody, and it's small group like these we get to find your talent. You know, when you're in small groups like these, when we can share with each other, they have a saying that you have to learn to dance a yard. That's in these small groups before you can go abroad. Yes, so we thank God for your willingness to accept, and God surely has empowered and enabled you. You know, yes, the story of Joseph. Indeed, it's one to be remembered. You know, when we look and see that purpose cannot be aborted. You know, no matter what went on and stuff, no matter how they tried to stop the purpose, it couldn't be aborted, because God's hand was upon Joseph. Amen. And funny about it, you know, what got him into his pit, what got him into the pit, was his dreams. You know, the backdrop that God has instored for him, his dreams got him into the pit. They hated it. His brothers and his family hated that dream, and it got him into the pit. And he went into Potiphar's house. You know, Potiphar's wife lied on him and stuff. Lied on him, tell lies on him and stuff, and got him into prison. And while he was there in prison, remember, you know, the first thing that started is deterioration, his downfall, as in the physical. Deterioration in the physical was his dream. And you remember when the cupbearer Pharaoh came in the prison, the cupbearer and the other one came there. The baker and the cupbearer came there. They had dreams. They woke up in the night and had dreams that troubled them.
The dreams,
and they had dreams that troubled them. And you know who they called to interpret their dreams? Joseph, they called to interpret their dreams. Joseph could have said, no, he's not going to bother with the dream thing again, because this is what got him into prison in the first place. I am done with dreams, because when I tell dreams and explain dreams, it get me into trouble, and I ain't gonna do anything. But just like Jeremiah. You remember Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah said that he's not going to prophesy again in the Lord.
Yes.
He's not going to prophesy. But he said that I feel like there is fire shut up within my bones.
I have to speak.
So it's just like Joseph now, being in prison, being there because of his dreams and everything. Mm. He never relents to interpret another dream.
Oh yes, you know? Oh yes.
Yeah, and it's not like a week or 2 days or 3 days he spent in that jail. He was in there for 2 years or more before he could ever. And throughout the scriptures, we never read once that he was there and not feeling and with a negative attitude. He had a positive attitude right throughout it.
God was with him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Almighty God was with Joseph. He was there with him, and he promoted him wherever he goes. So whatever situation we're in today, God is able to promote us even in that situation. Not that he's going to pluck us out immediately. Not, because God could have taken out Joseph out of that prison. Because it was a lie. They lied upon him to send him to that prison. He could have said that he has been getting some unfair breaks. You know, it's been really unfair for him to even be here. His own blood, his own flesh and blood sold him into slavery. Sold him to become a slave. You know, his own flesh and blood. He could have given up, but that still keep him focusing. It still, he never loses his praise. Throughout all that he went through, he never loses his praise. He wasn't afraid to raise a hallelujah, even in the presence of his enemies. You know, he wasn't afraid to really stand his ground until his breakthrough comes, until his turnaround comes. You know, he stayed there in his situation until his turnaround comes.
Oh, yes. God was with him, Jesus.
Yeah, there's a time appointed that whatever you and I are going through, there's going to be a turnaround. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for good. I speak that into your life. Whatever the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for good. You know, so think it not strange. You're going through the fiery furnace trials now. Think it not strange. As something strange happening to you. It's an Holy Ghost setup. So just keep on persevering, even though you're in it and it's hot. Keep persevering. Remember the three Hebrew boys thrown into the fire furnace? They didn't lose their praise in there. They said, even if my God don't deliver me, I'm still not going to bow down to any other gods. I'm still not going to bow down, even if he don't deliver me.
As we go through,
be it resolved in our hearts and in our spirit that no matter what comes our way, we're going to praise God anyway, because this is his will concerning us. And he knows how to chasten us. He knows how to get the best out of us. You know, the anointing doesn't come with just eating bread and cheese. It's not just eating bread and cheese, not just relaxing, giving the anointing that breaks the yoke and bring the deliverance. It comes through sweat and blood.
Sweat and blood. Amen.
Yeah, it's not a walkover thing. And so the hotter the fire, the sweeter the victory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sweeter the victory, the sweeter the battle.
Victory. Amen.
You know, it's no chastening at the present time seemeth to be joyous. It's not a laughing matter when you're going through a period of chastening or a period of valley experience. It's no laughing matter. It's no joke thing. It's serious business, because you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss the mark. So keep your face to be like sharp, like a flint. Because there's a purpose, and that purpose is not going to be aborted. You know, God is going to see. He's going to see each of us through it all. Amen. So be encouraged this evening. So no matter what stage you are in the walk of faith, no matter what, you know, there's three stages you could ever be in. Either you're just coming out of a battle, you're going into a battle, or you're in a battle. Those are the three stages of a Christian. You're just coming out of one, or you're going into one, or you're in one currently. Whatever it is, never lose your praise through it all. Be encouraged. Don't lose your praise. Shout a hallelujah. Anyhow, you know, because it is the will of God, you know, so be encouraged this evening. Yes. So we're still looking at the St. John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman. Yeah. Last week we started it, and indeed it was a blessing. You know, we see where Jesus intended to walk close to 100 miles along with his disciples. You know, and when he was like 30 miles out, reached a place at a well in Sychar. That well, yes, it was 30 miles out that he was from where he started off. And he met with this woman. He had a conversation with this woman of Samaria. You know, and it was a very profound conversation that he had with her. Profound in the sense of he did not have to speak much words to get the message across to her, because the soil was indeed ready. You know, it was a soil, that expected soil. You know, he didn't speak much words with her. And we saw in the chapter where Jesus was the one who seized the initiative to speak to the woman first, according to the scripture. He said, give him to drink. You know, the woman came there and saw Jesus sitting at the well. And the scripture didn't say that she said, good afternoon, sir. It was midday, the sixth hour. It was midday. The scripture didn't say that she came there and said, good afternoon, sir, or whatever. She didn't speak to him, but Jesus seized initiative to say, give me to drink. You know, and she said, no, and she was like asking, why is he talking to her? Because he being a Jew, she recognized him as a Jew. And she's a Samaritan, and the Jew had no business with the Samaritans.
Yes,
they consider them as outcast, or it didn't say there in scripture there, but they had no dealings with the Samaritans. Right? And Jesus turned and said to her, that's the second time Jesus going to speak to her. He said, if you know who's speaking to you, you would have asked me for what, for the living water, that you will never thirst again. If you know who is it that is asking you now for water, you would have asked me. But the woman was thinking in the physical. She was saying that, we get this water and the well is deep. How comes you have water and the well is deep? You know, give me this living water that you have so that I don't need to come back to this well to draw water. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, so it was something going on there. But Jesus said to her again that, go call your husband and
Amen.
Come. Go and call your husband and come. You know, and the woman said to Jesus, I have no husband. Jesus said to her that,
You well said.
You are well said. You said it right, because you had five husbands. Five. And the one that you're living with now, the man that you're living with now, is not your husband.
Yes.
You had five husbands. The one that you're living with now is not your husband. And when Jesus said that to the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Yes.
Because telling me everything that I have done.
Yes.
That's something that one thing that Jesus spoke to her, that she had five plus one.
Mm-hmm.
She said, that's everything that I have done. Everything summed up into that. Because maybe she didn't expect Jesus to know all of that, like that, so explicitly, you know, to number it out. He didn't say you had husbands before and whatever. Jesus said you had five husbands. And it corresponds with what the woman went through. We don't know. Commentaries, if you read commentaries about this scenario with the Samaritan woman, if you read it up, you'll find that a lot of people have a lot of things to say about it. One of the things that commentaries would say, our scholars, biblical scholars or whatever, they would want to say that it's not as if the woman had any a condition where she was being like out of line or whatever, or like a blatant adulterer or whatever. You know, they would have it to say that it wasn't pinpoint out in the scripture that she did anything wrong per se, but they would have it to say that in those days, men were the one who initiate divorces. It wasn't the woman who would divorce somebody. And they would have it to say too that maybe she would have been divorced from these five men. Or it could be a case where those five husbands had died, you know, and stuff. Because she by herself couldn't start a divorce in those customs, the customs of those days, you know. But we, with our limited understanding and what we read in scripture, one thing from that statement that could be a takeaway is that Jesus said that the one that you're with now is not your husband.
It's not yours. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. So disregard the five husbands that she had, because it could be that they have died or they are divorced her. But consider the one that she's with now that is not her husband, and she's with that man.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to base our argument on that. And that tonight it's not conclusive. You can still go ahead and read commentaries or whatever you want, but be careful not to wrestle with the scripture to your own destruction, according to Peter. Amen. All right, so we're at verse 20 in St. John chapter 4, and I'm going to read. He said, "Our Father worship in this mountain." And he said that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Amen. And we looked at it last week and we said that our worship should not be restricted to any particular place. Neither should it be confined to circumstances. You know, we should not have to wait until we reach church to give a praise. Or we shouldn't have to wait until we reach home to bow down and pray. You know, mm-hmm. It can be anywhere we are, anytime we can worship, because it's open now, it's opening now wide to us that we don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now up on the top of the mountain where the well was, where the woman of Samaria was. We can worship God anywhere in spirit and in truth. Amen? Yes, so we don't have to dress up. We don't have to dress up, or we don't have to go to church. We don't have to be at church that we have our best worship. It can be same place at home or in our car or walking or riding or whatever we're doing. You know, the Holy Spirit is there to do good. All right? And it says verse 22. "He worship, he know not what, but know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." That's Jesus talking to the lady. You know, yes. And we know that the Jews were the one who got, the Jews were the one who got the law of God. They had an intimate relationship with God there in the wilderness. God being so bosom to them that they could see when God presence is like at the boiling point, when God would sit on the mountain and Moses would go there, go up on the mountain there, and the cloud would come on the mountain there. You know, they had that mountain. They had that experience with God where they could actually see God so vividly. Every single step of the way, when a cloud could lead them by day and a ball of fire by night, where they would have the tabernacle with them, where the exact measurement of the tabernacle, God would outline to them and even send the builder to build that tabernacle and stuff. So everything was, they would see everything. You know, they could see like swift judgment. You know, the Israelites, the Jews, they could see like swift judgment. They could see where they make that golden calf when Moses went up to God for 40 days and 40 nights, and they make that golden calf that they let Aaron made for them. And Aaron. When Moses came back and saw what they did and stuff, they saw swift judgment. They so much of them died that day. you know? And we see more than one occasion where swift judgment take them over, where the word of God was, the word of God came and it chastised them and it's swift judgment. There was no mercy.
Amen.
There was no mercy. So they had like that, they had that closeness with God during their walk through and through. You know, so salvation is of the Jews. Amen. Yes. Yes. Verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. Yes, so
amen.
It goes beyond religion, it goes beyond location. It just has a one-to-one relationship with
yes,
Almighty
yes.
God. But you know what? Look at the Samaritan woman for a moment. You realize something. There's something about Samaria. You know, there's something about Samaria. And if we as a people would take a leaf out of the Samaritan's book, we would have been better off. I'm going to explain that in a bit. Let's just look at verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That means Hallelujah. The woman, that woman of Samaria, with questionable moral, as one would say, that she has questionable moral, that woman was anticipating a Messiah, a Savior.
Yes.
She was anticipating.
Yes.
She was there with anticipation amidst what she's going on with.
Yes.
Amidst she been living with somebody that's not hers or whatever, as questionable morals or whatever. She was anticipating a Savior. She was anticipating a Messiah. Somebody that will come and tell her all things.
She knew that there was a Messiah. Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
She was there. She knew that something. It's not
something.
Just so. She was expecting something. She was expecting a Messiah. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. And yes. So we see Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So Jesus revealed himself unto her that he, Jesus, is the Messiah. He, Jesus, is the Savior.
Yes.
Jesus is a Redeemer.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Hallelujah.
Yes. And immediately when Jesus said that he is the Messiah, the disciples that had went into the town to buy food, they came back and they saw and heard that Jesus was having that conversation with that woman of Samaria and stuff. You know, but Jesus has spoken it, what went on to them. The conversation that Jesus had with the woman, Jesus spoke it to them. Jesus tell them. They didn't ask, but Jesus tell them. Because it was important to be noted. It was important to be recorded. You remember that well. It was only Jesus and the Samaritan woman. We don't even know the name of the Samaritan woman. We don't even know her name. And she has no books in the Bible, in the canon, in the 66 books of the Bible. None of it was ascribed to the Samaritan woman. So she didn't record it. She didn't write it. So it must be Jesus who had told the disciples what went on so that they could have manuscript written about what took place with the Samaritan. With the Samaritan woman. And how Jesus revealed himself as a Messiah to the Samaritan woman. Look at Samaria. You remember the story with the Samaritan, with the good Samaritan, when somebody was sick at the roadside and Yes, and so many religious folks passed him along and didn't assist him. But this one Samaritan man, he assists to the point where he took that man to the hospital and paid the very bill and came and visited him ever so often until he was better. You know, that's the same Samaria that we're talking about. And even remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I think. Acts chapter Philip? 1 verse 8. No, it's not Philip. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, right before the last words that Jesus spoke in the flesh before his ascension. He said that when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. Yes. He said, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea. And Jesus mentioned Samaria.
Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, Samaria was mentioned. Yes.
Yes. He said, in Jerusalem, that is the hometown. In Judea, that city is around. Then in Samaria as well. In the last part.
Yes,
in the last part of this chapter that we are reading, you know, St. John chapter 4, it speaks about the harvest that is ripe, you know. It speaks about, Jesus said, look how the harvest is white. It is ripe. It is ready. And he's mentioning about the Samaritans. You see how accepted the Samaritans were with the gospel of Jesus. All right. Look and see where, when the disciples came, you know, the woman left her water pot, the very business that she went to the well for.
When Jesus entered to her man, hallelujah.
Yes, she left her water pot and she went into the town. She ran into the town and she said to the men, say, come see a man that has told me all things whatsoever I did, everything that I did. Come see that man. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's where we have some controversy with some of the commenters, the commentators and stuff, the biblical scholars. They are saying that if the woman was afraid to go to the well, no, they were saying that if it was fear that caused the woman to go to the well at 12 o'clock in the day in the boiling sun, why would she now go into the city to meet with those same men that supposedly were ones that would cause her to be hiding?
Jesus is a changed person. When you meet Jesus, you're a changed person.
Amen, the courage, sister.
Courage coming to you. Yes, the fear is gone. Whenever Jesus enter you, fear is gone.
Yes, you are now a new creature. You are now a brand new man. All things have passed away. So they don't see the woman now. When she went into the town, those men in there don't see the woman with a question of a moral. A woman that is living with a man that is not her husband. But they see the woman that has been transformed by Jesus Christ himself. That woman that has been touched by Jesus Christ himself, that has been impacted by Jesus. That's what they now see. So when the Holy Spirit come upon you, when you come in contact with Jesus, you get holy boldness.
Change, you change.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
There is holy boldness that comes upon you anytime you come in contact with this man, Christ Jesus. Things that you could not do before, things that you had no courage to do before, now you get some extraordinary courage that people cannot understand. She went into the city and she said to the men, come see a man that has told me all things. And look, look and see how ready the harvest is. The same time that she went into the city, you know, was the same time that Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples back at the well, you know. And Jesus was saying that the harvest is ripe. Look how it's white. It is white and ready to be harvested. It's 4 months and it's ready to be harvested. And it was the same time that that woman was spreading the good news in the city. And you realize what happened? She went to the men. And the men, yeah. And she said to the men, that come see the man, because this could be the Messiah. That means the men were expecting a Messiah as well. That's Samaria.
What a difference.
Yeah, the men were expecting something different. The men, anytime you're expecting something different, people of God, it is because you're not compatible with where you are right now. You recognize that there is something more to be attained than what you have attained already. There is some borders that you need to break loose in order to get the fulfillment on your life. Anytime you're expecting, is that mindset that you have, you're expecting something different. It is not what you're in now that is going to last. You're expecting a difference. Just like we as a Christian, we're expecting a new Jerusalem. We're expecting heaven to be our home, that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And if you're a Christian and you're not having that expectation, you really need to get back to basic. If it's not heaven to be your home, then you need to get back to basic. You're not a Christian because of what you can attain in this lifetime. You're not a Christian because you can pray to God and he can bless you with a house. You're not a Christian because you can pray to God and he can bless you with a car or a job. You're a Christian because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're destined to glory. You're destined to meet with God in heaven one day. That's why you're a Christian. So if you're a Christian to reap earthly things, you need to recheck your life and see where you are at with Christ.
Right. But go back to basic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is why we're a Christian, because we're looking at the long haul. We're not looking at what we can, the bellyful that we can get, no, or what we can attain in this life. But we're looking onwards. We're looking beyond. We're looking beyond. Amen. We're looking spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So these men, they were expecting a Messiah, and they went willingly. They left the town and went up to the well. And remember that well was on a mountain, because the Samaritan woman told Jesus that we worship on this mountain.
She said, worship on this mountain. Yeah.
Yes. So they went all the way. They could have found out the woman and said, sure, and next time we'll hear you out. A matter of fact, we're not even going to believe you or what you say, because you're not writing. But they left what they were doing. The Bible said that the men left what they were doing and they went up. What a transformation Samaria had. And you know, Samaria, the Samaritans, they only believe, they only had the Pentateuch, you know, the first five books of the Old Testament, you know. That's all that they believe in, you know. That's all that they had. I won't say that's all they believe in, but that's all they were privy to. That's all they were exposed to. They only had the five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the Torah. But the Jew, they had the entire Old Testament, from Genesis straight back to Malachi. They had it all, right? And in those five books, it could give them an expectancy of a Messiah to come. And they were ready to receive the Messiah when he presented himself. And when they went there, you see, nowadays it's so hard to get men to come to Christ. It's a special demon attached to them. Why they can't just break loose of their situation, just break loose and just give it all up to Christ. Amen. You know, it's a strength that you have for you to acknowledge. It's a strength, you know. It's not a weakness. Many people look at it as you receiving Christ is a weakness. It's a strength.
They have another
one. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
These men left what they were doing and they went down to meet with the Messiah and meet him with the Messiah. And they hear him speak. They heard him speak. They encourage him, or they request that he remain with them. They don't want to let him go. They don't want to let him go. And it's so with us as Christians, when we come in contact with Jesus, don't let him go.
Hold on to him, Jesus.
Hold on to him. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Don't let him go. These men, they said, you have to stay here. You are the Messiah. We want you here. Now that we receive Christ, you and I receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Don't let him go. Hold on to him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's verse 40.
Yes. So these men of Samaria, they went down there to the well and they tell Jesus, say, you have to stay with us. You are the Messiah. We want to keep you.
Oh, yes.
For ourselves. And Jesus stayed them 2 days down there.
2 days.
2 days down there. And that 2 days, he met with them in a very personal way. When you would have leave there, the men would have said that, we believe that thou art the Messiah. Not again because of what the woman said. But because we have experienced you for ourselves.
My God, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get personal. That 2 days that we were there with you, we get so personal that we experience you for ourselves. No wonder why Jesus loved the Samaritans so much that he, in his last statement while he was leaving earth to go back to glory, he could have said that when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, out of all places, in Samaria.
Not
a Jewish nation. It's not a Jewish nation. In Samaria and in the uttermost part of the world, you and I.
Yes,
because there are people that were expecting. There are people that had a good heart, the Samaritans. People that had a good heart, a heart of gold. Amen? And we just want to bless God. Bless God for that record. It gave me more strength in it, preparing it, studying it, looking into it. Gave me a lot of strength in it. And as I present it, I pray that you too will get that strength from that passage. You know, and that God indeed will open up our hearts to receive it in the name of Jesus and apply it to your own lives and cause it to draw you closer to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are about to close. Anyone have anything to add or anything to encourage, anything to share? We want to welcome Sister Cadian. Sister Cadian, we welcome you in the name of Jesus.
Cadian.
Are there any more first time members here online? Sister Eulalie, you have been here with us. Bless God for you, Sister Edwards. Sister Cadian. Yes, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And anyone?
Thank you.
Amen, my sister. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Anyone have anything to add on? Everything clear?
Yes.
Amen. 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 Yes, you see, this is a training ground, you know, and from time to time, we will participate in one way or the other, you know, as the Holy Ghost give us utterance, or as he enables us and empowers us. As I said before, is in these small groups that we gain some, yes, some confidence. Yes. You hear the name of the group, Faith Defenders. We're defending our faith, and
amen.
We can defend our faith by being silent.
Amen.
We have to be at work. We have to be empowered, and you have to somehow or the other, you have to approach the unsaved. You know, you have to approach them somehow or the other, and you can't be held back. This is a ground where you grow, you know, where you really step out and exercise the gifts that God has graciously placed into your heart. So if you come one evening and you want to sing in the name of Jesus. If you come one evening and you want to testify in the name of Jesus. If you come one evening and you want to expound on a scripture that has been laid on your heart, read it and expound on it. It's a training ground. You know, we are here. The word of God tells us that iron sharpeneth iron. This platform is not only for Brother Scott. You know, it's not only for Brother Scott to come and present every time, but it's for us. You realize as the Spirit leaves, I'm incorporating one or two to share. And you see what a blessing Sister Jackie was tonight. And I bet she didn't know that she could do it.
Amen.
She didn't know that she could do it, but she was unpicked. She was unpicked by God. And she accepted, you know. And I know, and you see how lengthy that portion that she read was. It's lengthy, very lengthy, but it's for a reason. God has unpicked you to read that portion tonight.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Yes. And it's so is us. It's not a one-man thing. It's for all of us here. And don't be afraid to invite anyone that you see that you want to join us. Don't be afraid. There's room at the cross. There's room at the cross. There's still room. This group is not conclusive. You know, it's not final just with us here. We're going to expand on it. We're going to expound on it. Just like our sister Terian, she invited Sister Cadian. You know? Yeah, Sister Terian invited Sister Cadian. You know, and we are here. We're inviting each other to come on, you know, and stuff so we can impact lives. Amen. All right, so we're going to close out in prayer now. We're going to close out in prayer.
Thank you for the training ground. For the training ground. It's Lyria.
Okay. Yes, Sister Lyria. Yes. So it's a training ground.
I'm learning a lot.
Yes. I am learning to my sister. I am learning to, you know, because, you know, I have to be first partake of the word. Whatever I'm going to present, I have to be first partake of it. So it teaches me a whole lot and as well, you know, because no matter what, whatever studying you would have gone through or undergo or whatever, it cannot be conclusive because the word of God is wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn from the Bible, from the word of God, you know. So yes, especially to put it to memory. Yes, it's so easy to remember other stuff, but to remember a verse is I remember some of the key verses, like you would say, like the 23rd Psalm. Uh-huh. The 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer.
And
John 3:16. We learn that in all age school through blood and high water. We get beaten. This mommy was the one who taught us, and after every lunchtime, she would send us underneath the mango tree to read the scripture and come back and recite it in class. And it's under the belt that you have to learn it. We learn it, and this is your class. Now we remember it. Yes, those scriptures and stuff. Yes, we learn it the hard way. Mommy had the belt there, and we have to repeat. We have to say it. And she walking around with that belt. And that belt is no normal belt. That belt is no normal belt.
I had one home too.
Yes, you know, so
Mrs.
Brown.
Yes,
Jackie.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, but tell you about the latest song, secular songs. I guess your quick people learn that song quickly. You don't have to even put a belt over them for them to learn.
Oh, yeah.
To learn a secular song or a DJ or a whatever. Oh. You know. Yes, but continue living for Jesus. Continue shining, continue glowing. He looks good on you, because he is the reason for the season. He's the reason why we are alive. Let us pray.
Amen.
Eternal God, we want to give you thanks for this another Bible study night. We thank you, mighty God, that you were here, that you are here with us, and you are here to do good. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you have enlightened us with. We thank you, Lord, for this mention of the Samaritan woman. That, Lord, as we read it, we could identify with aspects of it. We could identify with your saving grace. We could identify, mighty God, that when you come in the room, you're the atmosphere changer. We could identify that and that at that well, that you change that atmosphere, Lord, that woman could immediately be convinced that you are the Messiah by just you saying to her and she hearing you professing it, mighty God. She run into that city and she tell people about you, and they came, mighty God. We thank you for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that has done it, Lord. Because you said in your word that Paul planted, Apollos water, but you are the one who gives the increase. I thank you, mighty God, that as we are here tonight, that you have fired us up, mighty God, to be witnesses of your grace and your mercies. We pray, mighty God, that your word will form our lives in such a way, mighty God, that our only dependence will be on your word and your truth, mighty God. We pray, God, that you will cause our hearts to be so knitted and so grounded in you, mighty God, that our whole agenda will be to do the will of you who had called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I pray, mighty God, that your word will dwell in us in such a way, mighty God, that whatever we do, it will be a constant reminder that we are not our own, but we belong to you, Jesus. It will be a constant reminder that we are not alone, but you are with us, mighty God. It will be a constant reminder that you are the one who directs our path. You are the one who leads us, mighty God, and direct us. We pray, mighty God, that your word will come to us in such a way, Lord God, that we will see light in every situation that we go through. We'll recognize, mighty God, that you are our way maker. We pray, mighty God, that you will cause us to be a people that are conscious, Lord God, of your very presence with us. That, mighty God, whatever we do, are set out to do, that, mighty God, we will see your hand of blessing upon it. We pray, mighty God, that blessing will overtake us. We pray, mighty God, that wherever we are on this journey, yes, mighty God, that you will provide for our very need. We thank you, mighty God, that we are no bastards, but we are legitimate children of God. We thank you, Lord God, that we were bought with a price. Yes, mighty God, you love us so much, and whatever fear, whatever doubt, yes, mighty God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because we recognize that fear is not of you, mighty God, because you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I thank you, mighty God, that you are the one that work in us and through us. And because of that, mighty God, we can be confident that whatever we ask of you, Lord, you will give it to us, mighty God, because you know, Lord, that you are our Abba Father, the one who provides for our very need. We cannot do nothing of ourselves, mighty God. You are, mighty God, the vine. We are the branches. We stay in you, mighty God, so that we can be sustained, Lord God. And Paul said, unless you stay on board, you will perish. Unless you remain in the ship, you will perish. And so, mighty God, we are remaining in you, Lord, because you are our hope and stay. You promised, mighty God, that you will keep us. You promise us grace. You promise us, mighty God, that you will see us through. And so even now, mighty God, we pray that you will empower us to impact the world around us. Empower us, mighty God, to see you high and lifted up, us up, mighty God. Empower us, Lord God, to do exploits in your name. We praise you and we glorify you, Lord, for what you will do in our lives, in and through us. We pray, mighty God, that there, if there's any unsaved and here, mighty God, that, Lord God, you will place it in their hearts to surrender their all to you, mighty God. Hallelujah. To come and taste and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I pray, mighty God, that you'll work a work. Yes, mighty God, a transforming work that, Lord God, only you alone can do. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. And we give you the glory, mighty God. As, Lord God, we just pray for anyone here, mighty God, who is not feeling well in mind, body, or soul, that, mighty God, you will come through right at the very point of need. Yes, mighty God, we open the Logos, that is the written word of God. And we pray, mighty God, that from that Logos, you will take, mighty God, that word, yes, Lord, that Rhema word that will reach the very soul of our being, remove every sickness. Yes, mighty God, we rebuke every sickness. We take no partner, no company with any flu nor any cold-like symptoms, nothing at all, mighty God. We are no friends with no sickness in the name of Jesus, and rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we pray, mighty God, for a refreshing spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, mighty God, we stand our ground and we praise you and we glorify you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank hallelujah. You. Yes, mighty God. Yes, mighty God. Yes, mighty God. I see that application, Lord God. I see that application, Lord. I see that application. I see that application, mighty God. Lord, I speak life over that application even now. Yes, mighty God, it may seem long. It may seem, mighty God, that it has been forgotten about. But even now, Lord God, I speak angels. Yes, Lord, angels, mighty God, to direct it through and through in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come through for your people, mighty God. Rise up a standard against every forces of darkness. I come against every plan of Satan and the lives of your people, mighty God. And I declare, mighty God, that it won't be business as usual, but this season, mighty God, it will be a season of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Nothing, mighty God, will hold. Yes, mighty God, our blessing asunder. Lord God, reveal, mighty God, reveal, 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 reveal. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Too long, mighty God. Too long, Jesus. Too long, Lord. Too long, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Work on it, mighty God. Work on it, Jesus. Work on it, Lord. Yes, mighty God, you gave me the word. You gave me the word, mighty God, around 2 nights ago. You said, it is ready. Hallelujah. Your word to me, Lord God, that it is ready. And it's for a time like this. Your word is coming back, mighty God, to you. And you won't, it won't go back to your void, mighty God, but it will accomplish its purpose. Yes, mighty God, you said to me that it is ready. You said, Lord, it is ready. And even now, mighty God, receive that word, a ready word. Receive that ready word in our circumstances, in our situation, mighty God. Yes, mighty God, too long we have been under siege as people of God. Too long, mighty God. Yes, mighty God, too long we have been hiding behind. Yes, mighty God, closed door. But even now, Lord God, I speak a word into the life of your people. It is ready, say the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. There's a ready season. There's a ready season. Yes, Lord, it's a ready season, and I give you thanks, mighty God, because right now, Lord God, your people, yes, mighty God, who are fired up, mighty God, to do exploits in your name. Yes, mighty God, you're going to come through for them this season, mighty God. Yes, Lord, work on that application. Hallelujah. Mighty God, nothing is hidden from you, and you see, mighty God, you know it, mighty God, you know where it is, Lord. And I decree and I declare, mighty God, that it will be a turnaround in favor, stamps, mighty God, approval in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks and I give you praise in Christ's name and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Hallelujah. Make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And keep you in the beautiful spirit of deliverance for his name's sake. Greet somebody as you go. And remember, we meet again next Saturday, God's willing, at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Amen.
Greetings, everyone.
Good night.
Blessings.
Good
night. Blessings, my
Jackie, sister. You did a good job, Jacqueline.
Good night, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you. Greetings to you all.
Amen.
Welcome, Amen. Sister Acadian.
Hi.
Welcome, Sister Katie.
Bless the Lord. Thank bless
you.
The Lord.
Bless you.
Hey, Sister Terri-Ann, Sister Camille.
Hi, Sister Terry. Thank you for inviting me. Love you, sis. Love you, darling.